Okay. Right. So this is Jane going to do this. I'm reverting back to student days. I'm going to be doing this exercise today. So we've got our small group here today, which is Donna and Bev and Pia. And let us adopt a posture. We're well past the days of me needing to correct your postures. We've all been practicing for quite a while. So you get into the posture, so will I. And if it's about supporting heads or just moving the body in the chair so it's properly supported, that is supposing you're in the armchair posture. Okay, and then we'll close our eyes, of course, being aware of our hands, palms down on each leg, comfortably positioned. And we just start by being aware of our surroundings. Just notice any sounds and let them be. And then a quick scan. And nowadays, your mind and body is well prepared for this. It knows exactly what's coming next. So the scan is quite quick from the toes and feet. Let's have an awareness of the whole body, all the way up to the top of the head. If something isn't quite comfortable, you can adjust. And going back to the top of the head, come down across the face. Especially paying attention to the mouth and jaw. You may find your mouth drops a little open, or just a sense of the tongue resting. And now, as the passive observer, let's take the awareness to the right arm. My right arm is heavy. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My arms and legs are heavy and warm. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. My heartbeat is calm and regular. As usual, we take a little time to follow the breathing. It breathes me. It breathes me. It breathes me. Now moving on to the very center of ourselves. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My solar plexus is warm. My forehead is cool. My forehead is cool. My forehead is cool. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. My neck and shoulders are heavy. I am at peace. I am at peace. I am at peace. And now we're going to close in the usual way, or shall I call it waking up? With the fists and bring your fists to shoulders. It's quite smartly. Then a stretch and a deep breath and open your eyes. Okay. That's one exercise, not three. And that's usually when I apologize if I haven't met people for a while, maybe at a follow-up group. Sorry, we don't do them in threes in this room, if you remember. This is the training room. We just do them in ones. So, okay. So that can sometimes affect actually how we feel when we come out. Because is the brain expecting to have stayed in there a bit longer? So maybe you want to comment on that.
That's very interesting what you say, Jane, because I think that's true. I can actually feel how tired I am. Yeah, very interesting. I
Well,
love, the way that you have your tempo, the tone, and I love what you said about solar plexus. Come back to the center of you. I love that. I never heard that. I love it. It was
Well,
wonderful.
I'm afraid these things are made up over the years, you know. So,
I love it. Love
yeah.
it. Yeah, very
And of
good.
course, but that was this that particular exercise was actually for people who have we haven't met for quite a while. So a few reminders. I wouldn't really have done it quite like that in the
I
real
understand.
course. I don't know about you, Donna. What?
I don't know. Sorry, I'm still I could have stayed in it.
Oh, do you know what? I'm just wondering if we should do quietly do a couple more for ourselves. Because are you struggling now? Because I've sort of left you in the lurch.
It'll be beautiful to do that.
Would you like to do another couple more for yourself? I think we need to finish the job. Otherwise, you know, we need to go. I think we've gone down into something, and actually, we haven't had a chance to come properly out the other side. Shall we do it silently? Yes. And if you have a little nanosecond of sleep, could happen to any of us.
Which is not.
We'll whistle loudly when you've been there for too long. Okay. We're going to do our own, properly autogenic. So when you're ready to close.
That was a new experience.
Oh.
Yes, doing personal autogenic training in a group with others doing their own personal autogenic training. Yeah. Yeah.
Apparently that's how they did it in Germany, that nobody ever talked them through exercises, not even for teaching purposes.
Yeah.
So you would have the group and they would go through it and they would explain what the procedure was, etc. And then the leader, the therapist, would go out of the room.
Yeah.
And leave the group to do their very first experience of a new exercise without anybody there, which I think is really odd, and we would never take that on board. But yeah, for people. And actually, so yes, what was that like then, Bev? You're saying it's new. Sorry, what was it like?
Yeah, nice. I just was aware of the fact that I've meditated in groups where we've sat and done a meditation practice, whether it's on Zoom or in person, but never autogenic training. And,
yeah.
You know, my mind was focused on what I was doing, but every now and again, I suddenly had the realization that you three were in your spaces doing it at the same time. It was quite nice to think of that. Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And how it was going to shift us and where we were going to pop out and arrive.
Yes.
When we all open our eyes again.
Yes. Okay. And how about you, Dipia? What was it like? I mean, how are you now having done those next
this
two?
This is much better. Yeah, much yeah. better.
Yeah.
Much better. It was like, you know, I started to drive the car before, then I stopped it.
Yeah.
Now, you know, and now I've finished. I arrived at the place I wanted.
Yes.
I mean,
yes,
you know what I mean.
So, yeah. So getting there actually has a sense now, doesn't it? We're getting there.
And I love group work. You know, I love. I mean, I do Zen meditation, and I'm very involved with a group in the States, and well, coming from all over the world actually. And to sit and do the same, they don't know that I do autogenics, but the state of AT, you know, the AT state, it's the same. There's no difference. And I just love it. I think it's so special when we all sit in this state.
Yes.
So special.
Yes, yeah. Yes. There has to be something else going on, doesn't there?
Absolutely.
Some kind of field of energy. But I know nothing about those things, so I don't pretend to. It's just what we experience, isn't it? Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great.
Donna, have you got anything to add?
No, I just feel better now. I had lots of flickering in my eyes the first time, and that kind of was still there when I came out, but it's gone now.
Yes.
So it's done whatever it needed to do.
Yes.
But I think it was going to turn into a headache. I had that kind of sense that, but it's fine now. Finished it again.
Yes.
And was
that flickering there before you started even the first one?
Not before I did it, no.
No.
As soon as I went into the first one, my eyes started.
Yeah.
And they didn't stop.
Yeah.
Until halfway through the second one of mine.
Yes. Second one of yours.
Yeah.
Okay. That's quite a way forward. That's actually, this is really interesting, actually, for all of us, isn't it? Because we do say, do them three times round. But then in the classroom, we don't, because we're doing quite a number within a short space of time. And so it is well worth acknowledging that actually when people are in the habit of doing three, they stop after, just as you've said, Pia, getting in the car and starting up, and then stop. It's a useful experience, isn't it, to realise, and then we can point it out to our clients. Yes, and...
Yeah, I don't know if now is an appropriate time to ask this question, but something I was curious about is, you know, why three times? You know, when someone's done the course and the training, and if they were to say, you know, I'd like to do it four times. You know, what's the response to that? You know, why do we stop at three?
I don't know that there's a definitive answer. The only thing that people talked about doing three at all, we can probably all relate to, that the first one is a sort of dummy run. You know, you're still aware of what's going on and what's in your head and so on. Yeah. Second one, you might feel a little bit different, a bit more focused and so on. And the third one, probably quite significantly deeper. It's going to vary from person to person and from situation to situation. So it wouldn't be set in stone. But I think that's just an idea of why we do threes.
Yeah. So if someone wanted, and for example, I sometimes do four, if I find my mind is frazzled, mm-hmm. I'm by the third one, I'm not where I want to be, I'll mm-hmm. do a fourth round. You know, if I was working with a client and they said to me that they wanted to do four or they found mm-hmm. themselves doing four, mm-hmm. am I okay to just let that happen? I don't need to be concerned.
Well, I would say to you, with your choice now, with what you're saying, and I would say it to anybody, if you're aiming to be at a certain point and you're not there, it might not be helpful to do a fourth one because your brain is trying to tell you something different. And maybe what you really need is some offloading or something entirely different. So I wouldn't say then that you would carry on until you hoped to be somewhere, because that again isn't autogenics. So I think that a nice, this is personal, I mean I've no idea what any received wisdom is, perhaps I'm receiving it as I speak, that it's actually that three seems to be the number that we don't have to count. It's the kind of format that falls into its own way. And if somebody really wants to do a fourth one, I would never say no, because they're soon going to discover if it was a bad idea. So, you know, it is really up to the person. But actually, I'm going to say that for my personal autogenics just then, those last two exercises, I have no idea what I was doing. I know that sometimes it's a different switch from vocalizing them and then doing my own. But that's very often the form of my AT now. As soon as I started using the heavy and warm, I was thinking about the heartbeat, not being aware of it, just thinking about it. As soon as I started, just did one little phrase of heartbeat, I was into the breathing. And the breathing is such a nice space to be. I just stopped everything then and just breathed. And then I thought, well, I better move on. Golly, where have all the others got to? And so, you know, that was my sort of thinking. And I came out earlier than you because I wasn't doing the whole script twice round. And for me, that was absolutely fine. So it gets to something that isn't so personal and attached to whatever moment we're in. It's actually very difficult to say there should be rules and regulations, actually. Yeah.
I love, 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 love doing the supervision. I get so much out of it. And I had the same question to Anne about the three times. And she said, well, what she has come to understand, and this is just something that she has, but it made so much sense to me, that we do it three times. It's for the three bodies, the mental body, the emotional body,
yes,
and the physical body. And I think that is so beautiful.
Isn't it? Isn't it wonderful?
Isn't that beautiful? Yeah. That made sense to me.
Yes.
And so that was what she said. And I got to say, Jane, and it is going on from what you said as well, I love this book.
Okay.
I love it. And God, I'm nearly going to cry now, because when I read this, I learned, you know, when I was a little kid, I learned AT, yeah? And over the years, I got to a point where I did do, there was no words.
Yes.
No words. I just got the effect of it, exactly what you said. And I have heard no one talk about that. I did it with my, I recommended a therapist in Denmark to my sister, Bente Broke Her Back, an AT person, a therapist. He learned it in Germany. And I talked to him and I said, I actually don't do, it has been disturbing for me to say the phrases three times.
Yeah.
It's like I have gone backwards and it's become mental. So I can't explain it.
Yeah.
But when I read this in your book about the no words, hallelujah, to somebody else, because I can get the effect of AT just with heavy and warm.
Yes. Yep.
Then my body just goes in.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I've done it for so many years. I don't know. Who knows? But I think it's a brilliant, brilliant book. I'm not finished yet, but I think it's brilliant. I'm going to recommend this to people when they've done their course. But with me, that's what
Donna,
I want to
do. Donna, we need to talk to Jade and get it up on Amazon.
Yes.
Again, we're trying to get it on Amazon. It's been ridiculous. Of course, it's gone. But I've got thousands of these sitting in my gap. Not thousands. I haven't got thousands, but it would be lovely to get to a reprint. And I think it would sell very fast on Amazon. I just haven't managed to get it.
I think it is on Amazon because I bought the Kindle version of your book.
Oh, it is. The Kindle version is there. That's right. It is. Yes,
yeah.
but not the hard copy. And I you know, for a book like that, I don't think Kindle is suitable. I think I prefer to have a book to thumb through and light on things, you know. So
I'm definitely into the Kindle, Jane. I'll have to disagree with you there.
Well, very nice.
Because you can search for things, you know, as a student. Yeah. It's great because you can type in a word if there's something you want to recap on.
Yeah,
I do love it.
Yeah. Oh, good. Well, then, no, that's a wonderful use for it. Of course, if people. Yeah. But for me, I just like the tumbling on something. And oh, that this page is opened there. Why did it do that today? It's exactly the one I need, and I wouldn't have been able to search for it because
you didn't know what you wanted.
didn't know what I wanted. I didn't know where there was. Yeah.
No, it's good.
That's really interesting. Yes. And no words. I mean, apparently, and I didn't know this, but I discovered it for myself. I just thought I'm just much happier without
I
this
read
recitation.
That in the book.
Yes. And so I thought, oh, I've invented something really innovative, blah, 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 blah. And then it turns out that in Germany they do teach it without words, or they recommend that they, you know, I'm obviously not from the start, but at a certain point they do that. But we don't officially, and it's people follow
but we
their
can't
own
in
way.
The beginning.
Sorry?
And I don't think we can do that in the beginning.
No,
at all.
No, 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 no.
Definitely not. Yeah.
No, no, so, but when people come for a follow-up, I quite often suggest it. And you know, because otherwise people are sometimes in quite a deep state and they've actually lost sight of the phrases anyway. And so they're in that neutral state that we've talked about before. And then they think they're doing it all wrong and they can't get it and they want it and so on and so on. So then we do a little bit of a tiny taste of doing it without words. But of course, if I'm leading something without words, I've got to put words in. So I just sort of say, well, let's just go to the arms and legs and sit quietly. Let's do some arms and legs. And then there's a bit of quiet. And see, you might be aware of a pulse somewhere. So good. So, but I follow the order. But my own order is all over the shop. It does its own thing and it's lovely. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so glad you have, because I haven't read that anywhere in any of the books that I got. And I got a lot of books on AT, but I never read that. So it was like, hallelujah, when I read that, because I thought, is there something wrong with me? You know, that I don't actually say the phrases because it becomes mental to me. And I think it's just because that's not where it is for me anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know. So yes, I get the, but not, no, you go ahead. Yeah, thank you for putting it in the book. That's all I can say. Thank you.
Well, that's the joy of writing a book without having anybody looking over your shoulder. And you know, you can just sort of, it's just, and people can pick it up or not pick it up according to where they're at. So that's fine. Yeah.
That's good.
Okay. Thank you for that. And in that exercise, I didn't do, when I was leading through, I did a sort of minimal overview body scan. It had no detail in it at all, except the sense of the whole body. I think when people get further into it from about week 5 or 6, I'm beginning to use a scan like that, which is not so it's not so detailed, and the head doesn't have to be too busy, I think. Just yeah. But yes, so where are we then? Now, how are you getting on? Are you working with any clients? Pierre, I'm imagining if you're feeling not too good, are you still able to do some work?
Oh, I work.
You work.
Anyway, yeah, I mean, otherwise I would sleep every day, you know, yes. And I can't. Yeah, so I had to cancel the first one. So I'm only into coming up to my week three with her on Monday. So it happens every Monday, but I had to cancel the first one. So I'm a bit late, but I see Jane, Anne. I see Anne on the Sunday night from, and she just, I go through what, how I'm going to teach the next day. Yeah. And then I get feedback of the last one, if that makes
sense. Yes, indeed.
And that's, it's so valuable. I'm learning so much. I love it. And she's very precise and very shoots from the hip, and I love that. So it's really good. And this person that I'm doing with, I didn't want to have a client. So I actually asked a colleague of mine, and I said, listen, because she's heard me talk about autogenics for years and years. And I said, listen, I need somebody to practice on and have a case study. Have you got a student of yours that I don't know, that know nothing about me? So, and I didn't know anything about her. She was very willing. She's not paying much for it, and that's okay. And I'm learning so much out of it. It's great. It's really, really great. And I've also, if that's okay with how you, I don't know how you will look at it, but I would love to do it with a group. So I have a professor. She's a midwifery professor, and a doctor, and two others that I would love to do a group with. And I've said to them that I'm new to this, but they are so keen to do it. Would that be okay to do that as my case study?
I've got a feeling we might have mentioned this last time we met.
And I can't remember what we said.
And I would say, well, you were, yes, quite. I'm sorry. So that's fine. I'm sort of hesitating. You can hear me hesitate. But you would have four, and I think no more than four would be fine. And just write up the case study of one of them.
Oh, and do it that way.
Yeah.
Okay.
By all means, mention that the person is in a group and you've taught a group and set the right context. But that's a so you might choose the most difficult person, for example.
That's what I have. Yeah, the one that has. Yeah, that's what I have, because I know that I will do groups. I know that I will.
Yes.
And I'll do both. And I would love to get the experience of a group while I'm with you guys.
I think that's a really good idea. I think we can. You know, Anne will support that. Of course, she's very experienced with the group yeah. work as well. Donna, do you have something to add there?
No, just that Anne has just arrived. Tilly's speaking of the devil. So I was just about to admit.
Right. Okay.
Lovely.
Okay. So, yes, here she comes.
Yes, she comes.
Right. Well, we better stop talking then, as we've all been talking about her. Hello, Anne.
Hello. I thought I'd join a little early today, just to see how everybody was. Hello.
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 Hello. Hello.
Hi. Love your hair.
Oh, nice you should mention it. I had it done yesterday. What a palaver it is to get there in my wheelchair and everything. So, well worth it. Yes. Okay. That's enough. Look, just I'm just going to sit and listen and.
Well, we're all going to shut up now, Anne, because we've just been talking about you. because Pia has been talking about her supervision. So that's the context. So we've just been talking about you, and then lo and behold, here you are. So that's lovely.
As in magic. Yeah.
Magic, absolutely.
Yeah, magic. Yeah.
Yep, total magic. Mm-hmm. We are without Sebastian. His father has had an accident and he's had to go back to Romania. We don't know any more than that.
Oh.
So it must be a worrying time, whatever it is. So, and Patricia sadly is, well, I mean, sadly for us, is at a wedding this weekend, so unable to join us. So we're just talking about a number of things as ever. We're sort of going around the houses. We've just done an exercise. We did two more silently for ourselves. We've just been talking about doing AT with no words. And apparently my book is the only place where that is ever mentioned. And I think with that sort of caught us up. And Pia, you're talking about your client and how you're meeting Anne on a Sunday before that your Monday session. That sounds like a really nice way to go through it. And
can I put into the group something about that? When I spoke to Patricia about potentially organising any extra supervisions, she mentioned that she wasn't sure that was fair because some people might not be able to afford it. And I just thought it was important to, I know Patricia's not here, I just thought it was important to bring it into the group because as part of our course, we're allowed to have 8 individual supervisions. And like you, Pia, I'm really keen to get, you know, as much out of the course as and to give as much as I can for it to be, you know, a brilliant learning experience. And having, you know, people on hand to support us with our first clients is just invaluable. And I think what Patricia was saying, she doesn't know if, for example, Sebastian has the financial means to pay for extra sessions. So in the spirit of fairness for everyone, you know, she said it wasn't something that she would offer. So I just wanted to put that into the group so everyone's aware of that.
Yes. You can see my brain is whirring around the past. It's that, in fact, what it boils down to is that we've left it very much as a personal choice. We are not the ones who are demanding that people should have extra supervision. It seems to be coming from the student who is asking for it. And so we've never stopped that. So I don't know. I mean, this is a new question for us. There are times when we do recommend extra supervision, but that would be right at the very end of the course when, you know, several things had arisen that may be out of the case studies or whatever else, and somebody wasn't really quite ready, and they've been quite willing. And that obviously the fee is decided privately between the student and the supervisor in that situation. So
I think, Jane, the fact that it's never come up before means that it hasn't really been an issue.
Yes, that's true.
And the other thing that strikes me is that when you're qualified and the course is finished, the member is expected to continue to have supervision anyway. So my sense is to sort of leave it rather open at the moment. And see how you are at the end of the course and perhaps the end of your 8 weeks. I think you might feel a little different then.
I think this is ongoing though, isn't it? I mean, what you're doing with Pia, of course, isn't waiting till the end of the course. It's a decision that's been made between you and you know, we could argue it's not really necessary, but if that's because we state the eight sessions. But if people want more, I wouldn't want to stop that as a... And it's... I mean, heavens above, we've had enough difficulty with people not turning up for any supervision and getting in a write-off model, even though it is stipulated. It is. So, you know, we've had the other extreme as well.
I think it's rather assuming that everybody would want to have more than 8 sessions. And that's not going to be necessarily the case. I think the 8 sessions are well able to cover the whole course. And after the course, qualification it's expected to have it anyway.
Anyway, yes, absolutely.
So I think, you know, you can spread the sessions out as much as you want. You can have them earlier or later.
Yeah.
You can save one up for later. And I think my sense is, looking at the 8 sessions, that's a very good foundation for getting through the course, finishing up, and then going on from there. And that's the members, their, what's the word? Oh dear, it's terrible. I lose words. Their responsibility. Thank you. Their responsibility, anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is the flavour of responsibility doing it. Either way, they're just making sure that they're comfortable. So shall we hear from Donna for a second? Bev, Donna.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Bev said that Patricia wasn't going to offer that to you.
Thank you, Donna. Yeah, I wanted to just bring it back to kind of the issue. It's that everybody, if that's going to be a policy, that we're able to pay or you know, request extra sessions, then each supervisor should be offering the same to all the students. I think that's the point I'm making. And Patricia's response to me was that she didn't think it was fair or necessary. So kind of, in a way, the door was shut on me, but it's not shut on St. Pia. So it feels a little bit
unfair. Well, then that's unfair. Yes.
Absolutely. I was just thinking, Patricia is training, obviously, so maybe that's why she said it. I was thinking, if you wanted extra supervision, there are other supervisors as well. I don't know how that you feel about that, Jane. If you were to, Bev was to ask somebody else, other, if Patricia wasn't willing, because I do think that's unfair.
Yeah, and I don't think Patricia was unwilling. Definitive. I think it was a case of, you know, the first thing that came up was thinking about what's fair for all the students, and it was, it, you know, I don't think she's definitely 100% said no. She was just concerned
with
the event that, say, somebody couldn't afford it, and what discriminating against people.
And what would it be? And we would. I mean, any responsible supervisor is also going to be aware of that, and sort of slide a scale, whatever. Just to say, though, that Patricia hadn't been in touch with us, had she, Donna, on this question.
No.
So that's another thing that we should be picking that up.
Yeah.
And I'm quite sure she was just surprised at that moment and wasn't quite sure how to answer it, which is fine.
Time, but, you know, we don't, maybe she can't offer any more as well. We don't know the reason, do we?
No. We will pick that up at this end. Yeah. Certainly. Yes.
But I just wanted to reassure Bev that if that's the case, there are other people as well.
Yeah.
So, don't feel alone. Do you know what I mean?
and please, you know, in speaking to Patricia, it's not that she has said definitively, you know, absolutely no. It's just that it wasn't clear, you know, what the rules are for this, you know.
That's a note for us.
And you haven't had an answer either. Proper. So that's what we need. Yes. Okay. We will certainly pick that up at this end and move on. So, yes, Pia.
It states in the actual package that we get from you that we can request to get, you know, others. So I would have been. Yeah. So it says that in the copies that we can request others, and it. It's just between the supervisor and
yeah.
It's good. Yeah. Okay. I certainly want more because I'm learning so much.
Right. We were talking about the group thing, weren't we, Pia? excuse me. And so that if you were to work with a group, then and write up the case study of one of them. When I said difficult, I didn't necessarily mean somebody with a complicated history. It's actually, as the group unfolds, as the work unfolds, somebody difficult might be somebody who actually isn't practicing, or or they're not turning up, or whatever it might be. And that might be something that you choose to write about. So it's not that you have to find somebody successful or something of that kind either. So, but you've got a wonderful supervisor to discuss all this with. So there we go.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Okay. And I'm going to, this is probably a very sensitive comment to make. It is a sensitive comment to make. No aspersions on your profession, Anne, but the few doctors I've taught over the years, I think there's only about two that I could name who have really, really practiced autogenic training and applied themselves. No, three, because you're one of them. And that's important. Oh, here's a little granddaughter
Well,
arriving.
I could think of four straight off. So that's a bit slim, Jane. A bit slim. You've got
Good.
Brian Kaplan,
Good.
Alice,
Yes.
John English,
Yes.
myself,
Yes.
the one from what was she called? I can't remember. So it's not so poor. It's just not too many
All right.
doctors do it anyway.
No, well that's true enough. But anyway, so I'm sorry, I wasn't meaning to make it a blanket statement, but of course it was from my own experience. And it's been such a shame because we've had enthusiastic talks about it in advance and then they haven't bought into it. Something I've done wrong, perhaps, or you're a doctor, so perhaps that's, but whatever the reason, enjoy the experience. Obviously, you know these people well, Pia, and or they know your work or whatever it
They
is.
know my work,
They know
yeah,
your work.
and they're
Yes.
midwives, so it'll be a wonderful
Yeah.
because I really like to get into pregnant women and
Okay.
beforehand and after and all that.
Would you like to tell us about your client?
Me?
Yes. Since
Yeah,
we're on you at the moment.
okay, yeah, we can do that. So I got, as I said before, somebody that I don't know because I didn't want them to be biased. And it has been a really, really good experience for me. And Anne has been invaluable. I love working with the feedback from Anne because I really want to do better and great with the questions and all that. So Tess is about 40 years of age, and she's, which I didn't know, it's a Christian. And she says that she's born stressed. She has always had a lot of anxiety, and she has two twin daughters that's 5 years of age and a daughter that's 9. Her husband is in a very dangerous, what she says, it gives her a lot of anxiety because her husband is a stuntman and high level, like in with Tom Cruise and all that. So that's big level stuntman. So they travel all over the world. Gives her a lot of anxiety as well because she never know when he comes home and if he comes home without broken bones and whatever. And she has her own business, very stressed. Her background is that her mom and dad, they split up when she was 7, and it was never actually told that they were splitting up. Suddenly, mom and dad just lived apart, and that gave her a lot of anxiety because she couldn't figure out what was going on with mom and dad and just feeling unsettled. Nothing was really spoken about. And she has done so much work with psychologists, with you name it, counselors, with all different people. I found out that in my last session, and how many things she has done. She's very focused on diet and on natural medicines and some more integrated medicine. She has God, I can't even remember what it's called. SV. What's it? The Oh God, I can't even remember. She has this with her heart that it gives her palpitations, and when she's very, what is it called again? And it's totally escaped.
Super SVT, supraventricular tachycardia. Yeah. It's when the heart suddenly starts racing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it
Very
gives her,
scary. Yeah.
and it gives her a lot of anxiety because she actually feels that she's going to have a heart attack when she gets really stressed. it sets on, and she is hospitalized like 4 times a year, and they just go in and check her out, and she gets medication and whatever, but that stresses her out to be in the hospital. And when Cinta, my colleague, she was saying, you know, would you like to learn this that could regulate your nervous system? She jumped on it because she's never heard about AT, and it was something she's never done. And so we did the first one. She is keen as mustard, which makes my job much, much easier because she's so wanting to do it. And I was saying to Anne, one thing, oh, and this is what I want to ask you about, because the very first one I did with her was the short stitch, where she had to practice it about, you know, 6 times a day. And she got so stressed out because of that. She says, oh, there's no way. I can hardly think about doing it twice. So she felt very guilty when she came for the second session, like really head down and very apologetic, and felt that she has done the wrong thing because she just could not fit in with her lifestyle the 6 to 8 times a day with the short exercises. And the way I dealt with it, I said, listen, this is what you could do. And I didn't put any guilt trip on her or anything like that. And she settled. And because I said, it really is, you just got to do the best you can do in your life situation. So that settled her down a bit. But and I have some questions about.
May I put it as? Do you mind if as we go? Because I'm afraid we won't return to it. So all I would say is that starting with the short stitch is a challenge. I always say that to people. I mean, not quite in that sense, but when they come back, whatever they bring back, it's very often I couldn't do it. No time. Da 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 da. And that's the time that we can say this is really interesting. That's coming up. This is your first week. And you haven't done this before, and it's all about getting the job done, like getting school homework done, disappointing somebody if you don't, feeling guilty, all of these things coming up in your very first week of autogenics. Let's write them down and acknowledge them in your book. Because and you probably did speak a little bit like that, but I think because obviously you're not criticizing and everything else. And actually congratulate her and say, you know, sometimes not doing our autogenic training is actually also part of our process. So even on week one, you're learning about.
So did I understand it right that this is what we suggest them to do? That's what the sheet says, isn't it?
Short stitch, absolutely. Oh, yes, you've done nothing wrong, Pia. I'm not saying that at all. I'm adding something to when she came back, feeling quite negative and bad about it and feeling she hadn't done it properly and all of that, and not even able to think of it and so on. You know, these are all signals, aren't they, from around her. And this is what her life is, actually. And it's, you know, there's quite a few flags have gone up in that first week of practice. What I'm doing there is perhaps reframing her experience a little bit into something which isn't, oh dear, I have done it all wrong, I'm disappointed and I wish I'd never. But it's more, gosh, that's interesting. I hadn't thought of it quite like that. So that's, so I, yes, it week one is an important week, however good or bad it is, because it, good or bad isn't it, actually. It's just how it is.
And on the second week where I gave her 3 exercises, she was asking, so why was it that I needed to do it so many times in the first week? And I didn't know what to say. Why do we do it that many times the first week and not just 3 times, you know, sessions?
Yes. I remember when Luther was teaching this to us, the whole idea of short stitch is little and often. And it's a very good way to start off someone who might have a process that hasn't come to light yet. We don't know how it's going to be. And it's better if everyone starts with very short exercises for the sake of their own process. It's just little and often, little and often. And that's why we suggest more. And it is, it's a one-off week. I'm always very careful to say that. Everything is going to settle into something different from next week. So this is a starting week, but actually you're learning so much when you're doing it. You're learning about the postures, you're learning about getting into it, about the difficulties of starting, about what it's like to do it, about what it's like to come out of it, to go into it again. There is so much that you're learning, not maybe consciously, but training mind body in what the task is at its very basic level. And then also the avoidance, or not even the avoidance with her. She was really, really wanting to do it and found she absolutely couldn't. And that's a statement of where her mind is and where her body is, just like you've explained all the anxiety and the things that have gone on in her life. Her process is actually already starting by not doing the short stitch. Now, maybe you can't say it quite like that to the client, but that is what's going on. And then they are well ready for week two. And you could say that to them too, even in week one. Next week, we'll be doing longer exercises and not so often. However, you will be well prepared for that, so well prepared, by starting this way with the short stitch. Those are the sorts of points I make.
Jane, I have to slightly take issue with that, because my feeling is that the short stitch is absolutely fine, but to give it in an unrealistic way has an edge to it. And if it was three times, everything is done three times, we say things three times, we want to do three sessions. If given like that, then that is actually, for the first week, quite achievable, doable, and perhaps, I recognize it, go ahead and fail. Failing tells you this, that, and the other, but in actual fact, it could be the other way around. So I disagree with that, but there we go.
Happening, of course, I'm talking theoretically here, and faced with a group, and they're all sort of doing it, I will always say, if you manage six or eight times in a day, you're doing really, really well. I always say that. So, you know, so you can do it little and often, and the more you do, of course, the more there is to get out of it, though we don't quite know what that is yet. So it's not always a blanket, black and white. It is like that on the sheets, because that's how it is on the sheets. But
it's for us
to pick up. If you want to teach it three times a day, that's absolutely fine. And a lot of people, that's all they do anyway. So that's also fine. Okay. But if we've given them something a little bit to observe around it, so we're all slightly different on this one, and I perfectly understand what you're saying, Anne. Yeah. Pia,
what was interesting was that on the second time she, and that was why it was so good with having the supervisor there, because she did her exercises, and keen as mustard still, writes in her diary, and is really good in that way of she's keen, which makes my job easier and really enjoyable, of course. Well, yeah. And she was saying that she got to a point where she got quite scared because she disappeared. And she says, I didn't know who I was. I was not there. I was not. And she just didn't know. So she had no body. She has no nothing. She was just floating. And I said to her, oh, I would say that is probably a discharge. And it's not. What Anne was mentioning was, and I had the feeling for my meditation and what I've done myself, is it was an altered state of consciousness. And so Anne and I had a good talk about that with what it actually was in the way of probably not a discharge, because it was not a bodily sensation. It was a mind-altering state. So I learned a lot out of that. And she got very settled with that. She said, oh, so I said to her, you just need to, if you ever get scared of something or whatever, you just cancel out straight away. So you just close and move on. And you can always call me or email me. So that was what I said to her. So she was very happy after that. And I haven't.
Did you ask her? Did you ask her when she was reporting this to you? So what happened with that scary feeling? Did you come out of the exercise? Did had she done that herself and closed?
Yeah, and she did. Yes,
she did. Yeah, that's great. Yes.
She did. So she did, but she was concerned about it because it was the first time. So she's very religious, not in a dogmatic way, but spiritual, I will say. And she says, it's very easy for me not to be in my body, but just be in what she calls prayer mode, where she's just very quiet and just sits there with herself and communion with God. I mean, that's what she... So I'm learning so much here because I don't know any religious people, really. But, yeah. So it was a good exercise. So I'm really looking forward to the next one on Monday. Really looking forward to the next installment. I haven't heard anything back from her or anything. But
no.
So I'm so enjoying it and learning so much.
So she's got to... So you met her for the assessment.
Yep.
Okay. Then she did short stitch week one.
Yep.
And she did heaviness divided up, the week divided up into arms and then arms and legs. Is that where she's on now?
Yes. So okay. She's doing that now. So on Monday, it's warm.
Yeah. Monday, you're moving on. So you haven't heard from her during this because, so it was even with short stitch then that she was reporting that scared feeling. It was that
not
very
not short scared, no. Not, oh, not
so,
short.
So I've got, am I in the wrong week then? So when was it that she had that, I've disappeared, I don't know who I am?
That was last week. Oh, yes, so it was the, that was the heavy one. That's right, it was the heavy one.
So you
no, hang on, where now? I gotta get my notes.
Yeah, let's get clear there. Okay.
It wasn't the first week, was it, Pia? It was the second week when she did the full.
It was the second. Yeah.
It was the second week. Yeah.
So therefore, you must have seen her then for the third, for Heaviness Part Two, for her to report on that.
Yeah. So this is my third week with her, isn't it? One, two. Yeah, it must be. I get surprised, confused with what week I'm on with the exercises. I've seen her for 3 weeks and we're on the second one. Yes, that's right.
And she's doing Heaviness Part Two now.
It was short stitch it was on. That's right.
Oh, right. So it was those very, very short exercises.
Yeah.
Reporting in week two that she kind of lost herself.
Yeah. Which surprised me. Yeah, now it's coming.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say I'm so glad that she only had the short stitch because that's quite a severe, I mean, we know there's nothing wrong with it at all, but if the effect of it is to make her scared, then that is a bit, so that's exactly why we do teach short stitch in those early stages. Because if she had been on anything longer, the brain could have gone into all sorts of other kind of stuff, which nobody would be ready for. Nobody can ever be ready. So I'm delighted to hear that she, because I've just been a bit concerned that she was actually had that, that, sorry, what am I saying here? That she was on the full length heaviness exercise. And might be having these effects, but she didn't.
No short stitch, yeah.
Because she, by the time she'd moved on to the longer exercises, she was carrying those out fine. Is that right? Yeah. The full heaviness. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And then you've already given her Heaviness Part Two. Is that right? Now I'm in a muddle.
You myself. Yeah, it must be. She is on two now. That was what I have to go in and see in my what I gave to her. God.
Well, Annie's saying that she got that feeling just with short stitch. Is that right? Anne, you were reminding us.
Yeah. Yes. Well, it must be because
it must be.
It must be because we've had we've only had one supervision of her practice. We got a bit out of sync with, because of the weekend, we got a bit out of sync. So she has had, I think this is right, she has had the short stitch, came back and reported, and that contained the this experience.
That experience.
And now she's got heaviness.
Part one. Part one, heaviness.
So yes, that's
part one. So difficult. Part one, the heaviness formula, before you go on to heaviness part two, which is arms and legs together, da-di-da-di-da.
Yes, absolutely. So heaviness part one is what she's on
now. What she's on now, yeah.
Okay, and you haven't had any emails from her saying, oops, I can't handle this or anything.
Not at all.
So I think this is absolutely fascinating that there's so many, what shall we say, So much information from that first week of short stitches. She had that experience and it was scary. It's hardly surprising that she couldn't do her autogenic training. You know, it's, and because there was something in her own system that was saying, you're not ready for this, you can't do this right now. We can suggest. So no guilt, nothing else. And if she had emailed you during that short stitch week and told you that that was happening, maybe you would have been able to mollify and so on and say, well, this is just how it is, isn't it, at the moment? And of course, her background is... Anyway, just to reassure, that's the main thing that you might have done had she emailed, and not to make any... Well, you wouldn't have insisted on anything. But how fascinating that it was that.
I was surprised.
Very surprising. And that's exactly why I teach it that way, because, I don't know, Donna, have you got something to add in here?
The only thing I'm learning as I go through is people that meditate, Pia, I know you mentioned prayer, which is kind of an altered state in a way, when people do sit with themselves in whatever they're doing. They do go there quite quickly with AT. I'm learning that if people don't do anything, then it's all new to them. But if they're used to that, then I think it's their brain going, oh yeah, I know what I'm doing now, and they've gone quite quickly. So I always do check out when they report these things how it is for them, and lots of them say, oh, it's just I'm used to it because I do X, Y, and Z, or I used to do this, that, and the other, or it reminds me of this, that, and the other. So they're quite comfortable with it a lot of the time, or they can relate to something of the same kind of thing. I don't know if that's helpful, but that's what I'm sort of picking up.
But what was good was to talk to Anne, because I told her, you know, that it sounded to me like it was a discharge. I didn't want to go into altered states and stuff, because I'm not trained in that, in this scenario. And so I just said, and it was fine. And I just reassured her, and she settled down after that. She was fine. So it was good to talk to Anne about it. It was actually, that's altered state of consciousness. Which I thought it was, you know, because of my experience with my Zen practice and whatever. But anyway.
I think some language we can use, which is quite helpful, is actually to say, actually, this is your autogenic process. So it doesn't actually matter whether it's a discharge or whatever, wherever else it's coming from. But this is the stuff of autogenics. I'm saying more and more now, that well-known medical term. This is the stuff of AT. And the reassuring bits. But thank you so much, Donna. You're absolutely right that there are these altered states, but they're not the same as autogenics, of course. So some people will be used to it, but then it does sound like she was, you say all that anxiety. I'm thinking of the story of her parents' divorce and that poor 7-year-old child just not knowing what she'd been left with. The habit for her will be, what's happening here? I don't know. And this is me interpreting, please don't take any notice of it, really. But her own processes could well be just saying, I don't know what's going on. So,
yeah.
That's not an interpretation, but it is, of course, but it is a suggestion of the strength of anxiety that she's been harbouring for all these years. And just little old short stitch just to put a pinprick in there, just to say, oi, and actually, you're doing some good work here. But of course, she doesn't. If only the little inner voice could say that. Some people are aware of that.
Yes, so I'm looking forward to the next session.
Yes.
And her three notes and all that. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I mean, it's lovely that she's such an eager beaver. You are.
It really makes it easier for me, you know? Yeah.
Oh, of course it does, yes. And I go with that, but most people are like that when you're teaching AT. They jump on it and they really work with it, yes.
That's good.
And well done, because she's not been put off by that experience.
No.
And that was the other reason that Luther used the short stitch far more than Schultz did. I mean, Schultz had it. It was just never given a name. But it was simply right arm heavy and doing quite a lot of closing and going in and out. And all of it was focusing on, if there should be a difficult process, then at least you're not in it for too long. And the person is reassured that they can go in and out. They are in control. And there's all sorts of things that they are can manage. They can do to manage it. And that everything is normal. That's the other thing. Yeah. I'm aware of the time, and we do want to hear from Bev's client as well. So where are you now, Pia? Sorry, I interrupted you. You were
all good
to go to that. Looking
forward to the next one.
Yes.
And I gotta say, I love supervision because I learn a lot. So thank you, Anne. Thank you.
All
That's
around.
It for me.
Okay. Bev.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Thanks for sharing all of that, Pia. It's really interesting to hear your experience with your client. And I'm pleased to report that I have done an assessment and a short stitch. And I'm working on Mondays. So I'm due to see my client for heaviness part one on Monday. Yeah, it's good to kind of, you know, make that start and get on the journey of training someone. Yeah. Yeah, it's a relief. Yeah, so the assessment, you know, I found myself being incredibly nervous for that. Mm. And I think some of it in part is because I'm a non-medical professional, and my client, who is an acquaintance, is now retired, but has worked, you know, in the medical profession all of her life, and worked in the last 15 years in palliative care. So really understands medical terminology and procedures. So, you know, it felt a little bit like the power balance was off. Here was me doing an assessment, and I really, you know, was out of my comfort zone because it's the first time that I was doing it. So, but I mustered the braveness, and and it went well. My client, she is 63 years old and retired with two grown-up children. She was diagnosed at about 5 months pregnant with her first child with diabetes, type 1 diabetes. So she's had that for 30 years. And a few months ago, she got a device on her arm, which gives her blood sugars to her phone. So she's really in control and able to monitor them. And that was something that we spoke about prior to even doing the assessment. And I spoke to Patricia about that in terms of, you know, was this the right kind of client to be working with for my first client? And again, from what you've shared, Anne, it's mainly the most important thing is, you know, is her process under control, and is she able to verify and monitor her blood sugars? And that's something that she can do. So I felt okay that this was going to work. And sometimes she does suffer with low blood pressure. She's in 2016, she had breast cancer. And that came up in the assessment as, you know, I think partly the reason why she wants to learn autogenic training. You know, her answer on the form was about, you know, wanting to improve and help support her physical and mental health, you know, and she wrote down she's mindful that breast cancer can resurface. So, you know, there's some maybe some underlying fear there about what could happen. So during the assessment, a lot of it was, as you've talked about, Jane, was me listening, you know, and asking questions. And I struggled a little bit because I sent the assessment form out and my client was printing from her iPhone and it completely messed up all the formatting. So I ended up getting two versions. She sent me a file via WeTransfer and I amalgamated them both. And I thought, right, I'll take out kind of, you know, the pertinent things that are in there. But yeah, on the health side of things, it was mainly talking about the diabetes. That was the one I thought, okay, you know, I have a question for Anne on that, actually. With type 1 diabetes, do you know if I think you made a reference or it's in your notes, the medical notes for it, is it with type 1 that potentially autogenic training could, the body could start producing insulin again, or is that only with type 2?
Well, type 2, but you just never know. You just never know. The understanding is that with type 1, which tends to start at an early age, that the function of the pancreas is fairly well wiped out. And it's thought to be an autoimmune, but you know, never say never. But type 2 certainly, which is actually just the pancreas is just worn out because it's had too much to do, and then of course the diet and that can stop it being so tired. But that doesn't mean to say that the metabolic processes, when you actually move from activity to inactivity, from stress to relaxation, rest and repair, and all those R words, that you can actually, that the pancreas will perk itself up a bit. So there is a possibility there. But there's not, never say never with the type 1. But with your type 1 person who's had it for a long time, they're usually pretty au fait with how things are and how they lead their life. And she doesn't sound like one of those unfortunate people who are erratic, both emotionally and controlling it, and that's quite a different thing. And this person isn't that, clearly, that they know what they're doing. And it's wonderful now that you have these almost these continuous monitors, because you know, sort of 25, 30 years ago, it was very much, did you have long acting? Do you have short acting? If you had long acting, did you get a hypo during the night, and so on and so forth? And I just reminds me of one lovely patient at the hospital who I saw many years ago, who came for AT, and one of her, she had insomnia, really bad insomnia, and so on. And when we sort of teased this out a little bit, the insomnia seemed to be based on the anxiety that her husband was having a hypo because he was a diabetic and he had hypos in his sleep. And so that had transferred her vigilance, stopped her sleeping. And so there we are, people who live with that, you know, that they are affected by the condition, particularly people who have hypos and so on. So, you know, the ripple effect, was, and of course now you have different forms of insulin, you have continuous monitoring, and your client is obviously and interesting in your assessment or that she doesn't seem to say too much about breast cancer, which one would think would be top of her list, because with autogenic training and cancer, it is living with it, that person living with the diagnosis, even if there's no symptoms, living with the diagnosis and the almost the sword of Damocles that's sitting on your shoulders. It's the ability to do that with, where the AT is so helpful and so nourishing for carrying that burden of, I have a diagnosis, whatever, and then the treatment. But I was just sort of surprised that there wasn't too much anxiety about that. But then again, I don't know enough about whether it was just a small cyst and it's just been cleared for 5 years, which is said to be a cure. But anyway, we don't know enough about that. But certainly she's well-controlled diabetic. So well done. Yeah.
Yeah, on that note, thank you. On the breast cancer, the thing that seemed to be more irritating for my client was the fact that the treatment that she had created osteoporosis. And she was more annoyed and angry about that than she seemed to be about the breast cancer. And she's cleared of that now that she's not taking the drugs anymore. And she did have an operation to remove, I can't remember the medical term, I'll have to have a look on my assessment.
What, she had a bit of skin removed because of the bad surgery or something?
No, she had, it was where they go in and they take out the cancerous tissue, but she didn't have her complete breast removed.
Right, okay.
Yes.
Yeah. She had a lumpectomy.
Yes, thank you.
I think probably she must have had tamoxifen,
yeah,
which is anti-estrogen. Yeah.
Yeah, but she's okay on that front.
Well, so often with the whole spectrum of treatments for a cancer of whatever sort, the treatments are you know, cause more problems than the actual symptoms of the. I mean, for instance, breast cancer doesn't usually cause any symptoms.
No.
It's a silent lump that might be found or might not be found. But when you start having treatment and the diagnosis, that certainly changes your life.
Yeah.
So they're all aspects of this, you know, different stages where the autogenic practice, you know, is such an internal safety place and nourishing place. Anyway, yeah.
So yes, we talked about the osteoporosis because she also had two fractures, one of them potentially related to that, so a wrist fracture and an ankle fracture, but she's clear now of that condition. So yeah, during the assessment, a lot of it was me going and asking probing questions and sitting and listening and being present and, you know, noting things, like you said, Jane, that potentially could come up in her autogenic process. There was one thing else I wanted to mention. Okay, about the diabetes, when I asked her, you know, if there were fluctuations, when were they likely to occur? And she said, you know, it's when she's not at home and out of a home environment, or if she goes out for dinner and she has champagne, she knows that potentially she's going to have to pay for that. But she was very mindful that she wants to live her life as safely as possible without her condition dominating her every waking moment. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I felt kind of, certainly from the way she shared it with me, I didn't feel overly concerned that she wasn't a candidate for learning autogenic training. Then on the psychological, emotional side, one of the things that came up was her work in a hospice for 14 years. And she wrote on her form that, you know, she witnessed a lot of pain and distress in that time. And the attitude was that you were just to get on with it, you know. And so she did suffer from nervous exhaustion and burnout. And she did have a few courses of CBT during that time. But I was mindful that, you know, there's a potential maybe for some emotional emergence during the autogenic training, or not, because you know, I'm very mindful also that we don't know how somebody's going to respond to autogenic training. So it was interesting because I felt that I listened an awful lot as my client spoke, and I felt a little bit out of my comfort zone in am I asking the right questions? But then my client gave me some feedback on how the assessment went, and unprompted, which was really nice. And she said to me, I felt like you were looking into my soul. And I thought, no, that's my rabbit in a headlight look. You know, that was all I could manage sometimes, you know, it was just to be present and be present with my client and be there and listen. So it was utter relief when it was over, and I thought, right, it's never going to feel that bad again, is it?
Oh, well done. Well done.
Yeah, that's fantastic. We never, ever have to do our first assessment ever again. Yeah. It just won't happen. Yeah. Well done, Bev. I'm going to ask both of you, actually, how much did you explain about autogenic training in terms of possible process and why it might be different to just relaxation? Did you sort of say anything there?
Yeah.
What did you say, Bev? I mean, not what, because you can't remember.
Yeah, no.
But if you did, that's great.
Yeah, I did explain that during the relaxation response in autogenic training, what can happen is that the body can suddenly decide it's the right time to let go of things that might have been, you know, pushed into the unconscious. And that generally the intelligence of the body is that it only lets them come up when we're ready. And the one of the reasons that we do short stitch in the way that we do it is to practice having the control of the exercise, that if anything emerges and we think that's too much, we can just close. And so that was one of the ways I kind of brought both of them in, because I was going to mention, you know, my client is at a training weekend this weekend and was sort of asking me, if I can't do the exercise in the morning, you know, can I do several an hour apart? And I thought, well, that's one to bring up on the training weekend and just see. But you mentioned something similar as well. And it might be that we give them 6 to 8 and if they get 3 in, then that's a bonus. Mm. But I don't want my clients to feel like they've failed. I'd rather feel like they've done 3 and that's awesome. Yeah.
Yes, and because thank you very much for that, Bev. And I'm delighted you've done a lovely explanation there. You know, so they know to look out for these other sorts of things and to expect nothing at all. And those thoughts, I mean, not that you said it like that, but the mind body will do its own work. That's what autogenic means. And that is lovely, because then they start to develop a respect for what they are doing immediately. And that's great. And yes, and of course, if somebody is doing 3 short stitches a day and actually wants to do more, then hey, they can do as many as they like. So hey, it works both ways, doesn't it? I think that first week is always interesting, just how much they've managed to engage with it. And there's never anything wrong if they haven't. Let's move on. Let's go on with something else. What about you, Pia? Did you explain?
Yeah, I said pretty much the same as with Bev. I said that the body has infinite wisdom. Mm-hmm. And when we are in stress, we forget to just to relax and let the body do what it can do. And it has its own self-regulation and wisdom. And autogenics really open up the doorway for the wisdom of the body. So that was how I talked about it.
Yes.
And yeah.
And it's lovely because it's not particularly scientific language, is it? So it doesn't actually matter even what wisdom of the body means. It really doesn't. It's just words. People can take it for what they like. Although I sometimes use the broken leg situation, so that the doctor doesn't get inside the plaster to knit the bones together and the body does it by itself. But so there are those sorts of things. But that's lovely. And you put it in a context for them, which is superb. Really, really good.
I think I'm really impressed with both of those explanations or discussions. Really, really as it makes you realize that, you know, people that you are really understanding this in the way that it's meant to. So jolly good.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
We have good teachers.
an excellent book to reference.
Bev, so where have you got to then? She's you're going to teach her full Heaviness Part One on Monday.
Yes, so
yes,
short stitch, what mm-hmm. I've found, and some of this will be because I'm, again, doing it for the first time, so I'm working out what works and the flow of the session, but we didn't do an excessive amount of off-topic chatting, but it took, in order to cover everything adequately, an hour and 25 minutes. Because, you know, we're talking about postures, mm-hmm. the training environment, the training diary, mm-hmm. doing demonstrations, you know, all of that, to do it thoroughly so that, you know, I felt confident that the client was going off knowing what she needed to do. Yeah, I was surprised that it was a struggle to fit it in to that hour. So maybe I'll get quicker as the process continues. But any advice on that front?
I'm going to say, oh, you will get quicker. There's no question, because yeah. your own flow and sense of it and all of that, of course it'll get quicker.
Yeah.
And the person actually who is likely to hold us up in that first session is very often the client themselves. And perhaps we have to sometimes put in a bit of awareness that actually you're talking about meditation here. I am trying to teach you autogenic training, and we haven't got an awful lot long left. And are you all right for time is something to say to them as well. We probably are going to go a bit over the hour and so on. But sometimes actually we have to. Mm. I know it sounds odd, but when we're in the mechanics of session one, you can say that at the start. I'm going to apologize for the sound of my own voice in this week one. I've got a lot of things to explain, but please, any questions as we go along, ask them, and then you get to the other end in the end. I don't know if that's helpful. What about you, Donna? Oh, Pia, you can.
I was 1 hour and 16 minutes.
So okay.
As well, yeah. You're not alone, Bev.
No, and it was interesting because it was supposed to be in person, and then I got a call from my client half an hour before to say that they'd made a mistake with the time of their appointment. So you'll be aware of this, Jane, because I think Patricia spoke to you, that my client was told me she'd booked an acupuncture session. Yes, we'd had a talk during the assessment about her meditation practice and how really ideally what we'd recommend is that, you know, maybe she puts that on pause while she learns autogenic training and then can understand the difference between them. And she's not muddying the water. It's clearer for her to see how AT is helping her. And she was very okay with that. And then kind of the acupuncture session came up, and it was a one-off. It would, you know, she's had it in the past and it was something she booked a long time ago, and so I was like, okay, she's got it for before our AT session, which is on short stitch, so a lot of it is me talking about procedure, but I need to check this out with the supervisor because I have no idea. So so she went and had that, but she got the time wrong, so we ended up doing the session on Zoom, which was interesting because then I had to email her all the forms. This was quite a lot of paperwork for short stitch and then all the stuff about the training diary and everything, because I've made my own handouts, mainly as well for my help, you know, because there's certain things that I put on there, like, for example, only do the body scan once, you know, there's little prompts, you know, to make sure. And then I also put in like the minutes, like how long this would take, so three exercises should take this, because that was one of her questions as well. So yes. And what I found was when I sent her the documents, I forgot to put them as PDF files. So when I sent them and she printed them out, the formatting went again. So I did them as PDFs and sent them to her. So together we worked it out and she got the documents correctly, all in the way they're supposed to be. And so, yeah, so it ended up on Zoom, which I think was a little bit easier actually than doing it in person, maybe. Because if I need to reference anything on my computer, I can pull it up at the same time. So short stitch. No, and I had a really great feeling at the end of that session. I felt kind of job well done. I've covered everything I needed to do. It's, maybe I was just elated because I felt so much better than having done the assessment.
Well, it doesn't matter, does it? It doesn't matter where it's because. It's just how it was. That's lovely.
Yeah.
I think that's a challenge, isn't it? Because you were taken by surprise to have to run it on Zoom.
Yeah.
And for me, if you had known and you were ready for it, I would have sent the paperwork in advance, because there's just so much to be talking about. It's quite good just to be able to say, you've got the sheet, you know, headed practice at home or whatever it is. And so from that point of view, and that's quite a lot for her to take in, isn't it, with no kind of reference to paperwork. But we're all different in the way that we teach this, but I always do it with a, you know, being a classical musician, I give somebody the music first.
She did have them.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
So we managed, by the time we started the session, she had the files, so she was able to work with them.
Yes. So, oh, that's good. Sorry, I've been ranting on too much. Yes.
No, because the client handout sheet, how on earth I would try and teach that session without her having a paper reference. Yeah, because it's such a new concept for them.
Yes. But some people do teach it like that and then give them a wadge of paper at the end of the session and say, here are the notes of everything we've spoken about. So each to their own, you know. Yeah. I wouldn't be laying down the law at all. So, yeah. Okay. This is very exciting for you both, working with your first person, isn't it? Just, and it's lovely for us to hear about. Donna, sorry, I keep leaving you up in the corner on my screen. You must wave and dance. And
I'm okay. Well done, though, both of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. 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 Mm. Exciting.
Very impressive. Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Mm. And some really interesting things have come up, haven't they? And we can't gauge what your first encounters are going to be like, and neither can you, really. So, and these very interesting things have come up already. Yeah. Mm. Mm. Right. Now, it's 11:20. This sounds like the right time for our coffee break.
Sounds good.
Okay, so there's nothing sort of left over at this point. No other burning questions. Okay. So if we go and have our coffee now at 11:20 instead of 11:30, we can come back at 11:25 or thereabouts for our session on comparative. We, of course, haven't got Sebastian. So I think we'll be leaving out yoga nidra. Mm. And Patricia, we knew, wasn't going to be here. So we're all putting in our bit. I think that's lovely.
Mm. Okay.
Okay. So I think we're stopping recording, are we, Donna?
I've lost the button. Oh, it's up here. Sorry.